जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी, 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 जय गोपीजन वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी, जय गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी, जय गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी, जय गिरिवर धारी, जय यशोदानंदन जय व्रज जनरंजन, जय यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन, जय यशोदानंदन जय व्रज जनरंजन, जय यशोदानंदन जय व्रज जनरंजन, जय यमुना तीरवनचारी जय कुंज बिहारी, जय कुंज बिहारी, यमुना तीरवनचारी बिहारी, जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे, जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा श्रील प्रभु पदा जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिग्रह एकाचार्य स्तोत्र अभयचरण अरविंद भक्तिनाथ स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। हरे कृष्ण। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो वीड लाइक टू वेलकम एवरीवन फॉर टुडेज मॉर्निंग श्रीमद् भागवत क्लास। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2. The chapter is entitled Divinity and Divine Service. We are on text number 11. Vadanti tat tatva vidas. Vadanti tat tatva vidas. Tattvam yajnanam advayam. तत्त्वं यज्ञानमव्ययम् ब्रह्मेति परमात्मेति ब्रह्मेति परमात्मेति भगवानीति शब्द्यते भगवानीति शब्द्यते। वदन्ति तत्तत्त्वविदः तत्त्वं यज्ञानमद्वयम् ब्रह्मेति परमात्मेति भगवानीति शब्देते। माताजी वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग वदन्ति दे से तत् दैट तत्वभेद द लर्नड सोल्स तत्वम द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ यत् विच ज्ञानम नॉलेज अद्वयम् non dual brahmeti known as brahman paramatmiti known as paramatma bhagavaniti known as Bhagavan, Shabdyate, it so sounded. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. Purport. The absolute truth is both subject and object. There is no qualitative difference there. Therefore, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan are qualitatively one and the same. The same substance is realized as impersonal Brahman by the students of the Upanishads, as a localized Paramatma by the Hiranyagarbhas or the yogis, and the Bhagavan and as Bhagavan by the devotees. In other words, Bhagavan or the personality of Godhead is the last word of the absolute truth. Paramatma is the partial representation of the personality of Godhead, and impersonal Brahman is the glowing effulgence of the personality of Godhead. As the sun's rays are to the sun god, less intelligent students of either of the above schools sometimes argue in favor of their own respective realization. But those who are perfect seers of the absolute truth know well that the above three features of the one absolute truth are different perspective views seen from different angles of the vision. As it is explained in the first shloka of the first chapter of Bhagavatam, the supreme truth is self-sufficient, cognizant and free from illusion of relativity. In the relative world, the knower is different from the known. But in the absolute truth, both the knower and the known are one and the same thing. In the relative world, the knower is the living spirit or superior energy, whereas the known is inert matter or inferior energy. Therefore, there is a duality of inferior and superior energy. Whereas, in the absolute realm, both the knower and the known are of the same superior energy. There are three kinds of energies of the supreme energetic. There is no difference between energy and energetic, but there is a difference in quality of the energies. The absolute realm and the living entities are of the same superior energy, but the material world is inferior energy. The living being in contact with inferior energy is illusioned, thinking he belongs to the inferior energy. Therefore, there is a sense of relativity in the material world. In the absolute, there is no such sense of difference between the knower and the known, and therefore, everything there is absolute. Om Jnanat Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatha Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Sapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchakalpataru Bhescha कृपासिन्धुभ्यैवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। So I would like to seek the blessings of all assembled devotees and all, so that I can speak something on this very exalted subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification and inspiration for others also. So, this verse which we are discussing over the last few days, we see that it is like one of the very, very important verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. Like yesterday, Srila Haridas Thakur Prabhu spoke very nicely on the previous verse. Kamas inendri priti labhu jivita yavat jivasya tattva jigyasa nartho yas cheha karmabhi. That what is the duty of a person, an individual? So this was the subject matter of discussion amongst the sages, or means one of the most holy people who were existing at that point of time, and that what is the purpose of life, what is the duty of any living entity, especially those who have got this fortunate human birth. So in the previous verse it was said, Kamasya Nendriya Priti, means life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification, not for Indriya Priti. Labho Jiveta Yavat, one should desire only a healthy life, or self-preservation. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, Jivasya Tattva Jigyasa, Nartha Yascheha Karmabhi, nothing else should be the goal of one's work. So, the goal or the purpose for all of our activities has been enunciated as Tattva Jigyasa. Means we should inquire about what is the absolute truth. That is the duty of all living entities, especially because those who have got the human form of life, they have this greatest advantage or the facility where they can actually inquire about absolute truth. So, we should not waste this very valuable opportunity which we have got. So, this verse, and today, this verse, what is this Tattva Jigyasa? That is being described in this verse today as Vadanti Tattva Vidas Tattvam Yad Jnanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabdyate. So, this absolute truth is described by the learned people, by those who are actually the scholars, or those who actually have seen, like every day in deity worship also in the morning, we chant the verse when we do Achaman. Om Tad Vishnur Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Surya Divichakshu Ratatam Tad Viprashu Vipanyo Jagramam Sasamindhate Vishnur Yat Paramam Padam. So, those who are actually able to see, just like early in the morning when we get up, we are able to see the sun. And when we are able to see the sun, and by the illumination of the sun, we are able to see all the other objects. Otherwise, if it was pitch dark, it was in the night time, then we won't be able to identify anything. We won't be able to see things. So, similarly, just like we are able to see, as soon as the sun rises, and the sun as well as all the other things. Similarly, the people who have knowledge, who are learned people, they are able to see the Supreme Lord. And that is described as Vishnur Paramam Padam. That is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all the other creation also which is there of the Lord, that is also very easily seen by them. And they are able to give us that knowledge by which we can also understand and we can also see what is the absolute truth. So, this is like one of the basis, one of the foundational verses on which Shripad Jiva Goswami has written one of the sandarbhas. So, Shripad Jiva Goswami is one of the greatest acharyas of our Vaishnava tradition, and he has written so many books. There is a full library which is available at a university in Vrindavan. And of the various books, so many books he has written, one of the famous series is the Shat Sandarbha or the Tattva Sandarbha. And in that, one of the Sandarbha which he has written is the Bhagavat Sandarbha or Paramatma Sandarbha. And in that one section, there is discusses on the Bhagavan principle, which is and this verse of today's verse is the basis of this entire discussion. And that itself means Radhika Vala Prabhu was mentioning that itself is more than 900 pages. So if anybody is interested to have dwell deep into this verse, we can refer to that book. And one of our devotees, His Grace Radhika Raman Prabhu, he's like also one of the PhD scholars in America. So he did a PhD thesis on this subject matter, which took him more than 5 years. So we can understand, we can only imagine that how much detail. Of course, for me, I am not a scholarly person or anything like that. So it's very difficult to discuss today's subject. But then we'll try from our own capacity, just like as it is described, people see it from different perspectives. So I'll also try to, from whatever limited knowledge or whatever I have heard, are able to understand. So, what is this tattva, absolute truth, is described? So in one of Srila Prabhupada's lectures, Srila Prabhupada also has quoted this verse so many times in his lectures, in his books. It will be interesting to note that in Vedabase, when I searched this specific verse, more than 200 times this verse has been quoted in the entire Prabhupada's lectures or discussions, books and all. So, Srila Prabhupada says, the absolute truth is realized in three different forms based on the capacity of the person. So, depending on our capacity, the Lord actually reveals Himself or explains Himself. So, those who are trying to approach the absolute truth by exercising their own senses, they can, by controlling their senses, then they can actually reach to the point of Brahman. And those who are searching out the absolute truth by meditation, by meditating on the Paramatma, they can, by yoga practices and all, they can actually realize till the Paramatma level of the absolute truth. And those who actually engage in devotional service, which we are very fortunate to have by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So by engaging in devotional service, they actually realize the absolute truth as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like as we have Radha Gopinathji. So actually, we have to reach to that point of the Personality of Godhead. That is the ultimate level of the absolute truth. And the Paramatma realization and the Brahman realization, they are the other aspects of the absolute truth, and they are considered partial realization of the absolute truth. So, just like in this example, also Srila Prabhupada explains, just like the sunshine, if we see, sunshine is actually all pervading. Like, we are having so many lights over here, but even if we switch it off, now that it's morning, we can see that even in this room, although it's a covered place, but still sunshine is there and we are able to see things. So, it's all pervading even. And, but that does not make that sunshine is more important than the sun globe itself or the personality of residing deity, you know. Because the basis of the sunlight, which is, the sunlight is emanating from the sun globe. So, we see that the sun globe is actually localized. It's in one portion of the sky, you know. In the entire sky, if you see, sun is located in one place. But the sunshine is pervading all throughout. Not only throughout the, maybe India, all parts of the world. And not only entire world, the all parts of the universe also. The sunlight is going each and every place. So, in fact, in Bhagavad Gita also, Lord Krishna says that this sun god, the sun planet is there, which is locally situated, and if one is able to enter the sun planet, then he will find out that, okay, in that the entire sun planet is presided over by one particular individual whose name is Vivaswan. So he says in Bhagavad Gita also, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavam Aham Abhyayam. So the yoga system or the bhakti yoga system is meant, as they are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, it was first, this knowledge was explained by Lord Krishna to the sun god, Vivaswan. And later on, the shastras also show that there is a predominating deity in the sun globe. Just like a country has as a supreme head, we have the prime minister or the president of the country, nation. So similarly, those who don't see, they say that, oh, sun is just one planet, you know, or moon is just one planet. But we see, we are staying in the earth planet, and we can see that earth planet is not just one homogeneous thing. There are so many different living entities. There are different types of, different species of life. There is matter as well as there is spirit. So, actually, Lord explains that Brahmanohiham Pratishtaham. He says, Lord says, I am the basis of this Brahman effulgence, which is immortal, imperishable, eternal, and is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. So, this Brahman, which is can be compared to the sunshine, which is all-pervading, yet at the same time, the basis of the Brahman is the personality of Godhead or the sun. So, there are many analogies given by Srila Prabhupada to explain this very, very important aspect. And this, actually, this the concept of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, this is actually very, very important to understand for each one of us. So, the sun's rays are compared to Brahman. The sun planet is compared to the Paramatma realization or Paramatma feature. And the personality residing over there is compared to the Bhagavan feature of absolute truth. Like once on a very simple practical example we could also see is that when we are, suppose we are traveling by car and then we see a big mountain in a distance. So when we have the first glance onto that mountain, we can see what we can see is the big form of rock or mountain which is there. But we cannot see anything more than that from a distance. So, that we can say that it is like the Brahman. So, the Brahman is also their feature of the absolute truth. There is no activities over there. There is no, it's a homogeneous forms like that. Or, it is also explained by Srila Prabhupada. It is like explained by Srila Prabhupada that it is the realization of the Sat feature of the absolute truth. The eternity. Then, as we come closer, as we drive closer to the mountain, then we can see, okay, there are different details. There are different types of rocks over there. There are different shades or different texture is there from a little closer view. You know, that which we cannot see from very distance, far distance, once we come nearer, we can see, okay, there are certain portions which are rocky, there are certain portions which are soil and like that. So, this is the Paramatma understanding, and this combines both the Sat feature as well as the Chit feature. Or the Sat is eternity and Chit is knowledge. So we come to know something more about this this entire mountain. And then when we actually start climbing the mountain, then we will see, oh, there are so many trees. There are different types of trees also over there. And then there are so many other different species of living entities over there. There is the animals are there. There are birds. There are insects. And so many other small things. And then, of course, if somebody has a microscope or something, then and if he has that knowledge, then he can see even the other bacteria and other things, smaller insects, which we cannot perceive from our normal eyes also. So that is like the understanding the ananda feature also. Sat, chit and ananda. So slowly, slowly, the gradation, actually the level of knowledge actually increases. So another example we can see is given usually in Bhagavad Gita courses. We always explain that it is like, suppose in a night time you are in a village and you see there's a train approaching. So when the train is approaching, the first thing which is visible, especially if at the night time, is only the light of the train, and maybe you are able to hear the sound if it makes a horn. But the light you see, and then as the train comes closer, or then you can see the various compartments over there. But you cannot see anything more. But if you, once the train actually stops on the railway station and you enter the compartment, then you can actually see, oh, there are different seats are there, berths are there, there are luggages, there are different individuals who are traveling in that train. So like this, there are these different levels of understanding. We cannot say that one understanding is wrong or the other understanding is right. But these are different levels of understanding of the absolute truth. So so we can see that the Brahman understanding is there, above that is the Paramatma understanding, and superior to that is the Bhagavan realization. So one may also, there is another example which we may be able to relate to much more, is that suppose if there is a room in which all different types of foods and different varieties of food is prepared and kept over there, and then if one person is allowed to go inside that room, but he is actually blindfolded, he cannot see anything, but when he enters that room, he is able to smell the different foods which are kept over there. So he can smell the flavor of the pulao or the various sweets, savories, or different items which are maybe hundreds of items are kept over there. But he is not able to see, but he can smell them. So what is that his realization? Oh, he can see that. And of course, he is not allowed to eat also. He cannot put anything in his mouth. So he can only smell. So by smelling, he has to imagine, okay, what these items could be. And another person is allowed, okay, he is allowed, there is no blindfold, he is allowed to go inside, he can see, but he can, and he maybe can touch also. So, when he touches or he can see, he gets a better understanding, but he cannot taste it. He is not allowed. And the third person, he is allowed to do whatever he wants once he enters the room. You know? So, when he enters, and when he actually tastes different items, then he, so which is the best understanding? Naturally, if any person is allowed, what would we want to do? Which type of understanding we would like to have? Like it is the English proverb is that the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So unless and until, although things may look very attractive, but the experience is actually when you eat it, then you get the full realization, isn't it? So actually similarly we can compare it to the understanding or the realization of Brahman realization. In Brahman realization also there is a very high level of bliss which is achieved, but as compared to Paramatma realization and the supremeost, the Bhagavan realization, that is the perfect understanding. So, those who are trying to aiming for the for understanding the absolute truth by knowledge, by jnana, that is jnana marga, they can reach up to the Brahman realization. And those yogis who perform Ashtanga yoga, and they can reach up to the Paramatma realization. But those who follow this process of bhakti yoga, they can actually establish a connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there is an exchange of rasas or exchange of relationship, exchange of love between the Lord and the Atma. So, even in fact in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains what is the different levels of understanding. He says, tapasvibhyo dhiko yogi jnani yog jnanibhyo pi matodhika karmibhyaschadiko yogi tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. He says, a yogi is greater than the ascetic, greater than the empiricist, and the greater than the fruitive worker. Therefore, O Arjuna, in all circumstances, become a yogi. So, a yogi is better than a jnani, and amongst the yogi, the best is the bhakti yogi. And that's what Krishna explains in the next verse when he says, yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamomata. And of all the yogis with great faith, they worship the Supreme Lord. He is the most intimately united with me. That's what Lord Krishna explains. And actually this entire subject matter, it's a very technical subject matter. And this was also one of the principal teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami. In Madhya Leela, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he explains in chapter number 20th on teachings to Lord Sanatan Goswami. This same, he says, Jnana Yoga Bhakti Tina Sadhanera Vashe Brahma Atma Bhagavan Trividha Prakashe. So there are three kinds of spiritual processes of understanding the Absolute Truth. The process of speculative knowledge, that is jnana, the mystic yoga, and that is yoga system, and the bhakti yoga. According to these three processes, the Absolute Truth is manifested as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And then, of course, next he quotes this same verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while explaining to Sanatan Goswami this Vadanti Tattva Vidas Tattvam Yad Jnanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdyate. And then he goes on to explain, saying, Brahma Anga Kanti Tara Nirvishesh Prakash Surya Yena Charma Chakshe Jyotir Maye Bhas. So the manifestation of the Brahman effulgence, which is without any variety, is like the rays of Krishna's bodily effulgence. So this Brahman effulgence is actually the glowing effulgence of the body of the Supreme Lord, which is absolute and complete and unlimited, and which displays varieties of countless planets. And then he explains that the Paramatma, what is the Paramatma feature? Paramatma heno teho Krishnara eka amsha. Atmara atma haya Krishna sarva avatamsha. He says that the Paramatma or the super soul feature is a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original soul of all living entities, and Krishna is the source of Paramatma. So, and then he explains the personality of the Lord, Krishna, Bhagavan, who is Bhagavan? Krishnam enam avehitvam atmanam akhilatmanam jagad dhitayaso apyatra dehavadhi mayaya. You should know that Krishna, to be the original soul of all the Atmas, for the benefit of the whole universe, he has, out of his causeless mercy, appeared as an ordinary human being. He has done this by the strength of his own internal potency. So, of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is taking birth as Krishna. So, this was a question which was asked by Parikshit Maharaj, that why the Supreme Lord, he is appearing as the son of Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj in this material world. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that Shukadev Goswami is explaining to Parikshit Maharaj. He is clearing his doubt.
He is saying, because the Lord is very much attracted to the Atma or the individual souls. So that is why He is having so much of compassion, so much of karuna for the living entities. That is why He is coming. He is taking avatar. Because He is, but the Atma or the spirit, the is, although it is a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, yet because it is covered by the material energy, just like he explains, just like we as an Atma, we are residing in this material body, so we have such deep attraction or deep attachment to this material body, we are not able to give it up. In fact, to fulfill the desires or the needs of the body, we are working day in and day out. So similarly, the Lord is actually attracted to the various individuals, because the Atma is a part of this Paramatma, the various Jiva is actually an Amsha of the Supreme Lord. So everybody is very dear to oneself, and one wants to protect the body by all means, and because of that the body and the soul is living together. So similarly, due to this similar very deep attraction, the Supreme Lord actually comes so that He can take back the conditioned souls back to the spiritual world. So we see that the different processes or the practices of understanding, like it is explained over here, the Jnana Yoga, Jnana system, or the Ashtanga Yoga system and Bhakti, if we actually compare, we see there are various explanations in the scriptures also, that how the practice of Jnana system is actually not very easy. If we want to try to understand the Brahman, or we want to perfect our endeavors by understanding, by achieving the Brahman realization, it's actually very, very difficult. Klesho dikaras tesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hi gatir dukham dehavadvir avapyate. It's not very easy. It's actually very difficult for those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested impersonal feature of the Supreme. For them, advancement in spirituality is very, very difficult and troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is actually very difficult for those who are embodied souls. So, actually for conditioned living entities to actually be able to succeed in understanding the absolute truth by following this Jnana Marg is actually very challenging. And even for, if we were to follow the Ashtanga Yoga system, that also, like nowadays we see there is more, although there are 8 limbs, Ashtanga Yoga, but more focus is there only on asanas and some breathing, pranayam and all. You know. But even to practice that is very difficult for us. Maybe for a few hours we could do, and that too when there is a lot of pressure, when people are having some bodily ailments or something, then people are able to take out time for that. Otherwise, it's a challenge to be able to practice yoga. I mean, the people may start, but then many a times they give it up after doing it for some time. So even for practicing one limb, leave alone the other 7 limbs, 8 limbs. So it is said that even Arjuna, when he heard in detail from Lord Krishna that this is the way Ashtanga Yoga has to be practiced, he said that, oh, it's so difficult. I am finding it very difficult to control my mind. So, to practice this process of Ashtanga Yoga is also very difficult for even like a person like Arjuna, who was in our previous yoga, in Dwapar Yoga. It was a challenge. So, what to speak in for we conditioned living entities with our limited capacity to tolerate. So, that is the reason why that Bhakti Yoga has been provided to us as a very, very simple and easy process to follow to achieve the same result as which can be achieved by the other processes, or rather even better results. Like it is shown that In fact, the other systems of the jnana and ashtang yoga, they, to achieve success in that also, certain elements of bhakti yoga have to be there. Without those elements, one cannot actually achieve full success in that. So, one who performs tapasya, means, unless and until he includes in that some elements of bhakti yoga, to then only then he is able to achieve full success. And it is said, like, tapasvino dhanapara yashasvino manasvina mantra with sumangala shemam na vindanti vina yad arpanam tasmai subhadra shravase namo nama. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all auspicious Lord Krishna again and again, because the great learned sages, the great performers of charity, the great workers of distinction, the great philosopher and mystics, the great chanters of Vedic hymns and the great followers of Vedic principles cannot achieve any fruitive result without dedication of such great qualities to the service of the Lord. So unless and until we engage in devotional service, by all other practices, we won't be able to achieve success. That is the conclusion of the Shastras. So, Krishna, in fact, in Bhagavad Gita also, he explains the supremacy of Bhakti Yoga. He says, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yaschamsi tatvatah tato mam tatvato gyatma vishate tar anantaram. So one can, if one wants to understand the Supreme Lord in perfectly, then one has to, it can only be by practicing the devotional service. And one can, when one is in full consciousness of me, by such devotion, he can actually enter my kingdom. And actually we can go back to the spiritual world. You know? And also he says, Bhaktya tvananyaya shakya aham eva vidhor juna jyatum drishtum cha tatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. So, only by undivided devotional service can one understand the Supreme Lord. And standing before you, we can actually see the Lord Supreme in front of us, just like we can see each other. And because otherwise to understand the Supreme Lord is actually very difficult and it's very mysterious. Like many people, although Krishna was there at that time, but people who were not having the proper consciousness, although they were seeing Lord, but still they could not understand. So, once there was a person who had approached Srila Prabhupada, and he was very much insisting that no, this to understand, under impersonal understanding of the Lord is actually the supremest. You know, he was saying. So when he asked Srila Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada said, see. He was a businessman. So he said, what you would like? If you had 1 crore rupees and that was actually divided into 1 rupee and it was distributed in 1 crore individuals and everybody had 1 rupee each, would you like that or you would like to have that 1 crore rupees with yourself? Which one you would like? So then immediately that businessman understood, yeah, I want that entire thing with myself. So in one individual. So rather than all pervading Brahman, the individual, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that understanding, or that is because that time we can have a personal relationship with that person. You know? So there are many examples also in Bhagavatam where people have actually progressed from an impersonal understanding and then further to the Paramatma understanding and then to the Brahma, to Bhagavan understanding. And there are examples of how they were actually able to experience the bliss also. Like the example is given of the 4 Kumaras. The 4 Kumaras, they were earlier followers of the impersonal school. And when they actually got to smell the fragrance of the tulsi leaves, which were at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, so then they were able to understand the realize the Bhagavan realization, you know? And they expressed their appreciation and gratitude for that. They said, తస్యారవింద నయనస్య పదారవింద కింజల్ప మిశ్ర తులసీ మకరంద వాయో అంతగతోస్వ వివరేణ చకార తేషాం సంక్షోభ సంక్షోభమక్షరజుషాం అపి చిత్తనోవా. When the breeze carrying the aroma of tulsi leaves from the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead that entered the nostrils of the sages, they experienced a change in their body and mind. And even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. So, when they were able to smell the tulsi leaves, so Prabhupada explains in the purport, he says, it appears from this verse that the four Kumaras were impersonals or protagonists of the philosophy of monism, becoming one with the Lord, like entering the Brahman effulgence. But as soon as they saw the Lord's features, their minds changed. And in other words, the impersonalists who feel transcendental pleasure in striving to become one with the Lord is defeated when he sees the beautiful transcendental feature of the Lord. Because of the fragrance of the lotus feet carried by the air and mixed with the aroma of tulsi, their minds changed, and instead of becoming one with the Lord, they thought it wise to be devotees and become a servitor of at the lotus feet of the Lord. So that is actually, to engage in devotional service of the Lord is much, much better and superior to than just trying to merge with the Lord. You know? And also there is this very nice example where another impersonalist, a monist, like Durvasa Muni, he was also a yogi, Ashtanga yogi. And when he tried to use his yogic power against one of the pure devotees of the Lord, Ambarish Maharaj, and in that entire episode, it came to he came to understand that how the devotee of the Lord, he is actually having a much superior position than any than a yogi. So, Durvasa Muni, he says that, like, Durvasa Muni, he actually, out of his pride, out of his yogic power, he thought that, okay, I need to chastise Ambarish Maharaj for not following the etiquette or whatever. But when he tried to do that, his power was not successful. He failed in his attempt to harm Ambarish Maharaj. In fact, he started to run for his own life. He had to run for his own life, like when the Sudarshan Chakra was chasing him. And at the end, when he approached different personalities in the entire universe, Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu himself. And at that time, Lord Vishnu said that, no, you have tried to hurt one of my sincere devotee, so you can only be pardoned if you have to seek forgiveness from himself. So he had to then again come to Ambarish Maharaj, and when he fell at his feet seeking pardon, that time Ambarish Maharaj actually picked him up and he said, no. He said that there is no question of asking for forgiveness. Actually, I have... he was very happy to pardon him. So at that time, Durvas Muni, he says, Aho Ananta Dasana Mahatvam Drishtam Adhyame Kritagasopi Yadrajan Mangalani Samihase. So Durvas Muni said, see, I am able to, my dear king, today I have experienced the greatness of devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For although I have committed offense, I tried to harm him, you have actually prayed for my own good fortune and for my own protection. So when we actually have the blessings of a devotee or the association of devotees, then it is the best or most easiest way by which we can actually engage in the devotional service, and we can also have this Bhagavan realization. So this is something which I wanted to share with all of you. Thank you all very much for your patient hearing and encouragement. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki. Jai.